in the FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. Once gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fast. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do.
This is Community Radio in your city. It's Cambridge 105. I'm Bex.
And I'm Sally.
And what a way to start Rainbow Radio for November.
Oh, yes. Taking a walk on the wild
well
side.
Said. Oh, do you know what? When I was younger, I had no idea what that song was about.
No, I thought it was more kind of like, oh, nice little walk in the park. How lovely. Perhaps like it's a bit overgrown.
Perhaps like a George Michael walk in the park.
Yes, maybe.
Anyway, hello, welcome along. It is so cold today. What's going on?
It's freezing, isn't it?
I don't believe it.
I wrapped up for rain, so I've got a lovely raincoat that's nice and thin.
Right.
And keeps off the rain. No rain. But lots of wind.
There was rain this morning, I can promise you, as I saw Ely Cathedral, as I was driving in down the A10, I could see it. It was horrible this morning. And then all of a sudden it went down to like freezing territory.
Freezing. Cold, but dry.
But I don't care because I think we're in the world's best city. I mean, beautiful.
Well, I do think it's beautiful, but obviously I am a London.
Oh, I forgot about that. Ah, yes. You can tell. You can tell. Do you know what? Because whenever we go down towards like the Grant or around that way, around that area, you get asked whether you want to ride a punt, don't you? And
well,
I don't.
Yes.
See? Because I'm liquid.
And also, whenever I see a cyclist, I automatically expect them to be very abusive to me, and they're quite sweet and apologise for running me over. Doesn't happen in London,
it
I can tell
not.
You.
It does not. You see, this is why this is a wonderful place to live. Yes. Anyway, we're all about LGBT, which is lesbian,
gay,
bisexual,
trans,
and anything in between. So, you know, the Q, the I, whatever you want to be. GSM as well, we've got as well, which is gender and sexuality minorities.
But you don't have to be in the LGBT community. We are inclusive of anybody who wants to find out more about the community.
And we have got lots for you to find out. We've got news. Yeah. We've got a couple of guests.
Yes.
They're outside munching biscuits as we speak.
Good quality biscuits as well. Cambridge biscuits.
I'd like to say they were, but probably not. No. So we've got Grant, who is getting to be a regular in this show.
I think so, yes.
But we love him. Every time Grant comes in, I tell you, I just have a massive smile on my face. Grant works at Diverse, which is a sexual health charity at Dale's Brewery, which is just above Hot Numbers down on Guider Street. And he's going to talk about a training course he's doing.
Right.
And also National AIDS Day as well is coming up.
That's coming up in December, isn't it?
1st of December.
1st of December.
Yep, so he'll be in talking about that. Then we've got Miriam Lynn, who works for Sexuality. Do you see what they did there?
The U.
In the middle. Very good. Yeah. Also at the Dale's Brewery. Now, maybe once upon a time there was beer there. There isn't. I'm just put that aside. But also at the Dale's Brewery, I'm working with young people. So under 26.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, so she's going to talk a bit about that. And also, I've met Miriam elsewhere.
Ah.
And she'll talk about that too.
Ooh. Intriguing.
Slightly intriguing. It's all fine. So that's
it's not
all
a date
up.
From hell.
No, it's not. And if you are not a regular listener, the dates from hell are something that we will try and squeeze in before 6 o'clock. Yeah.
They are just kind
dates
of,
from him.
Yes. Using our torturous dates to entertain you, really.
Yeah, that's what we do. Because I'm not saying that you can't have torturous dates if you're not in the LGBT community, but it does kind of be the norm as opposed to the exception.
It sadly is, yeah.
Yes. So we should be doing that. Talking about all sorts of things happening in the LGBT community as well. Yes. One of the big things I wanted to talk about, if it's okay.
Absolutely.
Is it okay
that
Caitlyn Jenner won Glamour Magazine Woman of the Year?
Oh, there's been a lot of controversy about that. It's partly, I think, to do with a bit of transphobia. And I think also because she did make a really, really bland statement about how difficult it was to be a woman.
Now, this is it. If you don't know Caitlyn Jenner, where have you been for the last 6 months? It was Bruce Jenner, who around about sort of springtime came out, cover of Vogue, wasn't it? And started her transition from male to female.
An iconic shot, that.
Very iconic. You may have seen it, sort of, she's in a corset, doesn't she? Have a bit of Photoshop,
yeah,
I think.
Well, maybe.
Just a little bit. So she's had quite a journey for the last 6 months, granted.
Yeah, absolutely. And to have done that in the public eye must be incredibly difficult.
Very much so. I mean, she's transitioning, so she's got potentially 7 billion people watching everything she does.
Yes.
Very stage-managed sort of transition. Mm. And, yeah, Glamour magazine decided that Woman of the Year. What do you think?
Well, I think one of the main worries that I have about her is because she's done it in... I mean, she's got loads of money.
Exactly.
So it's not really representing the trans community. And her statement about the most difficult thing about being a woman is deciding what to... Where?
That wasn't perhaps the best acceptance speech I've heard.
No.
Because I would actually say there's a lot more difficult things.
A few
usually
things.
Being talked over. That's the big thing that annoys me. being ignored.
Being ignored, yes.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to be funny.
I've noticed that. I had the other day in the office, I said something that was quite witty. I say so myself. And clearly it was, because a guy repeated what I said 5 minutes later and everybody laughed.
Terrible. And let's not forget that the most difficult thing about being a woman is probably something that Caitlyn Jenner is never going to experience. But we won't talk about that. It's tea time. And also, let's not forget the gender pay gap means that it's, most people, other than Caitlyn Jenner, because she's got lots of money, work free from about September.
It's about now, isn't it? Yeah. We're working for free.
We're working for free compared to the guys. So
yeah.
Maybe doesn't help herself. I did think it was an overreaction. I don't know if you heard about this, but one of the victims of the September the 11th.
Yes, she's taken the award back, hasn't she?
Well, her husband has, because it was post... Basically, she passed the events that happened. So the husband received the award on her behalf
right.
And then took it back.
Right.
Difficult one. Is there a bit of transphobia? Is it that the reason why? Or is there a valid point? You know, this is it, like you say, you know, Caitlin is a celebrity with millions of dollars.
Yes.
Stage managed transition.
Yes.
And a team around her making it good all the time.
Fantastic, yeah.
Is it, you know, compared to perhaps somebody living on the Mill Road in Cambridge or somebody in Soham or in Burwell who perhaps decides to question their gender identity?
Yes, a much little harder, longer journey as
well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I can see the points. If you want to get in touch and join the debate, it's studio@cambridge105.fm. You can text 07919 070 490 or find us at the website, cambridge105.fm, Facebook, Cambridge105, Twitter. Get involved if you want anything we're talking about, please. We would love to hear from you. Speaking of trans events, yesterday was quite a poignant.
Memorial Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, tell us a bit about this.
I mean, it's one of the really depressing things is every year you think, surely there can't be as high a number of people from the trans community who are actually murdered for being trans. I think this year it was 219.
Yeah, which you say doesn't sound a lot, you know, 219 over a year, but actually just for being you, not for anything else. And there's also a report that hate crime has gone up as well against trans people.
And that comes out as well at, is it about three a week?
Yeah.
Three people a week.
Maybe
it's
three to four
a
week.
52 weeks in a year. It's actually quite high.
Yeah. So every year, around about the 20th of November, we have what we call TDOR, which is the Trans Day of Remembrance. It's actually a worldwide thing.
Yes.
I thought it was just UK, but it's actually across the world. And candles are lit for people who have passed, whether through taking their own life or through hate crime, across the year. And it's always very poignant and moving, isn't it?
And I mean, those 200 are only the people who have been murdered, not the people who have committed suicide due to pressure. The number is actually much higher if we include the suicide.
And this is it, and it's a problem, and Miriam will touch on this in a bit, actually, some of the work that she's been doing with younger people of how to try and sort this out and try and combat it. I know that the government yesterday flew the transgender flag from, I think, the Houses of Parliament?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, one of the government buildings, which is a nice gesture. But 2 days before that, there was a trans woman, so she was born male and became female.
Right.
Who was sentenced and ended up going to a male prison and took her own life.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of work to do. It almost feels like you take a step forward and a step back.
Two steps back.
We sort of move along, but we shall see. We'll see how that goes. But very poignant day yesterday. But let's not...
It's good to mark it and to know that people do still mark it and care, even if, unfortunately, we're not at the stage where there were nobody new to remember, which would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's such a shame because we've talked about before how trans things are moving forward. EastEnders, for example, with the trans man character, so that's somebody who was born female
become
male. Okay, and the recent BBC sitcom, which was...
Is it Boy Meets Girl?
Yes. Yeah, it had a trans woman in it. So things are moving forwards.
Kind of awareness is beginning to happen.
It's getting there. And then, but we can only be judged by the lowest common denominator.
Unfortunately, yeah, still got quite a way to go.
Yeah. Going back to LGBT, I was just thinking actually about how we've moved forward and, you know, we've really charted this year, if you've been listening across the year.
Throughout the year.
We've been saying about things like equal marriage, you know, Ireland, amazing.
Southern Ireland. Northern Ireland is the one area
of the UK where it's a bit hazy.
Yes.
New Zealand have got it, we've got it.
Yeah.
Canada's got it, America even have got it.
Yes.
Or have they?
Well, there's a few people who don't really want this to happen.
Yes, and I was just looking at this as my little computer's gone off. You know, obviously, next year it's a different president.
Yes.
Mr. Obama has to move aside for somebody else.
It's quite nice, at least America, you only have a president for two times, unlike Britain, where we could keep on having some...
Let's not go down politics. Not today. But, obviously, looking back at history, what tends to happen, America has a Democrat and a Republican, and a Democrat and a Republican.
Swings and rounds.
And so that, by law of averages, means they could potentially have a Republican.
Yeah.
Four of the Republican presidential candidates have signed a pledge to void the marriages of thousands of same-sex couples.
Really?
And this is the weird thing about America. I've seen this before where people, it's been legal in the state that they've been in.
Yeah.
They've got married.
Yes.
And then it's become illegal and so they void it.
That's... sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
You're no longer married.
Yeah. Very strange. So in Britain, I think we should be kind of thankful that things have moved on a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
We're getting there. So, and the next country to look at equal marriage. Is that a good didgeridoo impression?
I was wondering, but yes.
It was the hand gestures.
What the didgeridoo was doing in the background. The kangaroo.
Well, Australia, again, it's another country that there's a lot of public support that says yes. You can, like in Ireland, a lot of public support. A lot of people came back to Ireland to vote.
Yeah.
In Australia, they want to, the sort of right wing people want to set up a sort of treasure chest or war chest or something to prevent it, so they could do all sorts of advertising.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll try their best.
Yes, so the donations, almost like, you know, a bit of crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding, stop it happening.
It's like comic relief, but not quite so funny. So we'll wait and see. We'll see what happens.
That'd be interesting.
But the tide's turning, so fingers crossed, we will get there. Okay, we will get there.
We're going to get there. I liked, some years ago, there was one of the ministers for Australia doing the speech, quite a kind of down-to-earth guy, just saying, what is the fuss about? You know, I'm still going to be hated by my daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
It's still going to rain in the winter just because two people love each other can get married. It's no big deal.
You know? Oh, I know. And that's the thing, you know, looking at the world and how it is. You will not be surprised of something else I read. Moving on a little bit. Apparently, Moscow, least friendliest city for the LGBT community.
That is not a surprise. Although I think there's possibly some other countries that might. I think Uganda, possibly cities
there
in Uganda, would probably be fairly unfriendly.
Some places in the Commonwealth that are
pretty bad. Places that have got the death penalty for LGBT activities. But there again, people might not use them as a tourist trap. Perhaps
this is true.
So perhaps it's our.
And the thing about it, I don't know if you read this, but apparently us Brits are more concerned when we're looking at places abroad about the beach, the hotel, how much drinks are by the veranda, than their LGBT rights. And I think, I don't know if you've had this conversation in the office, but, you know, when people have said, oh, I wouldn't go to that particular place, and they're like, why wouldn't you do that? Like, LGBT rights.
Yes, I've had that quite a few times. Strangely enough, I was offered, when I taught English as a foreign language, I was teaching a group of Russians who were absolutely lovely and invited me to their hometown, which is in the middle of nowhere, about 200 kilometres from anywhere. And I was like, thank you, but no way. No way. I don't want to be killed. And people were like, no, but you don't need to mention it. Nobody will know. And I'm like, that's a kind of thing about principle.
Yeah, it's double standards. And I had the same, you know, I trained as a mental health nurse in North London.
Yeah.
And some of my colleagues were from Uganda, from Ghana, Nigeria.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, come around and experience it. It's fine because you're British, you'll be fine. But again, same, you know, it's the principles and saying, actually, in the back of my mind, it may be the most beautiful place in the world, but in my head, I can't.
It feels a bit hypocritical. Yeah. And also you're funding a country.
Potentially, yes.
And saying it's okay in a way.
Yeah, that's very true. So I know there's a lot of work to be done in the Commonwealth and those sort of difficult conversations that never seem to happen at state events. And you can understand why, you know, but still, we shall see. Look, if you want to get in touch, our text number is 07919 070490. Studio at cambridge105.fm is the email, or you can find us on the website, cambridge105.fm. I like that, .fm. I just noticed that. I feel a bit blonde now. Find us on Facebook or on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. What we're going to do, we're going to play a song. Got the Neon Trees.
Oh, yes. So,
if you don't know this, I'm Bex.
I'm Sally.
Sally picks the music.
Yay.
I sort of just talk randomly.
Yeah.
And you just fill in the pieces.
I fill in bits.
Yeah, you kind of keep us going. So you picked the Neon Trees. Why?
Partly because we've got a member of the Neon Trees who is from our rainbow community.
Okay.
And I try and, as much as possible, get diverse, recent and past people from the community to represent us.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have a listen and see what it sounds like. This is Community Radio in your city. It's Cambridge 105. Hello, I'm Bex.
And I'm Sally.
This is Rainbow Radio. This is all about the LGBT. We do it once a month.
Yes. That's,
yeah, when we break in. No, honestly, no, they let us in. It's all fine. And if you don't know what LGBT means, that's not a problem. It doesn't matter, okay? Because LGBT is lesbian, gay,
bi, trans.
And there's Q, there's I, there's all sorts of things in there. We're a very diverse bunch. Yes. We have the rainbow above us and everything. It's lovely to see you this afternoon, on this cold Saturday afternoon.
Crisp I like the word crisp.
Crisp, is that what you're going for? It's so good. I don't like it. I really don't. Oh, dear. Get in touch if you like. Email studio@cambridge105.fm. Text 07919 070490 or find us via the webby. guest time. Ooh, very excited. I'm hoping they haven't eaten all the biscuits. I'm quite hungry. We've got Miriam, Miriam Lynn, who works for Sexuality. Hello, Miriam.
Hello, Bex. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for coming and joining us today.
Absolute pleasure.
You're going to talk about a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Sexuality. Mm-hmm. And Sister Act.
Great.
Let's start with sexuality. Tell me about it.
Well, Sexuality, we're a small and perfectly formed voluntary organisation that have been in existence, working throughout the whole of Cambridgeshire for about 23 years. So, personally, I haven't been working there that long, but I have been there for about 8 years. And shall I tell you a bit about what we do?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got several different strands to our work, but the most important thing, our reason for being, is to support young lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans and gender questioning queer young people throughout the whole of Cambridgeshire. And we do that in a whole load of different ways. We've got groups that young people can access. They're drop-in groups. They're not therapy groups, so we don't all sit down and say, oh, my God, isn't it grim? but what we do is we offer positive activities for young people, and they run all over Cambridgeshire. So we've got weekly groups in Cambridge. We've got a group for 16 to 24-year-olds, and we're just about to start a group for 13 to 16-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
So any listeners out there, 13 to 16, get in touch, because we're going to be having a Cambridge specific group. And then we've got groups in Ely and in Huntingdon and in Wisbeach, and we've got a specific trans group in Cambridge once a month.
I was going to ask you about that, because it is a very different landscape in the city to what it is out into the rural. I mean, I live in Soham, so yeah. I know it's very different.
Yeah, so it is very different, and we're completely aware of, actually, to be rurally isolated can often cause loads more issues for young people, and we want to be able to access young people where they're at. Now, we do a lot of schools work, but we also, what we've been doing and working on is actually developing a Skype policy. So we do one-to-one work with young people across the county, and we'll either meet you where you're at, so young people wherever's safe and comfortable for them, but also we're also aware if you're 14, 15, 16, living in rural Fenland, Cambridgeshire, and you're not out to your parents or the people that care for you, you know, how do you access Wisbeach or Ely, probably your nearest groups, without having to come out? And that's a real big issue for young people. So we will offer Skype one-to-one sessions, or we'll come and meet you in a cafe or somewhere sort of safe for you. So it is about recognising that and setting things up like Skype and rural groups.
That is it. I mean, technology now is such a big thing. I mean, yeah. I know for some of us, you know, social media is really good because it gets us a lot of information. Are you on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, we're on Twitter and Facebook. So we've got a kind of a professional Facebook account for SYA Sexuality, but we've also, for the young people, we have a completely separate, closed and safe space, so members only, verified by us in the office, because safety is being safe to speak. For some young people, they're absolutely out to everybody and wouldn't mind their 1,000 Facebook friends knowing, but for other people, we might be the only space that they're out, and it's really, really important that we kind of work with that confidentiality, because that's the most important thing for young people, to feel safe.
Do you think it's got easier for young people now, or is it just as difficult as perhaps when
I came out?
When we came out.
Yeah, so I came out back in the 80s. Ooh. Is it easier? Is that what you mean by coming out?
Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting. We've done some research here in Cambridge, and there's also been some national research on the age that young people come out to themselves. So in terms of sexuality, who you fancy, that's been kind of marked at around 13. So kind of typical hormones, feeling that you're fancying somebody, thinking that you're fancying somebody of the same sex. But what we know also through research is that the average age that a young person will tell somebody for the first time that they think they might be gay is actually 16, 15, 16. Okay. So there's a 3-year period period where what young people are hearing around them, mostly in schools, is homophobic, transphobic, biphobic remarks that are particularly damaging for young people. And that's what we need to combat. I think we're seeing a shift of young people coming out earlier. So I think if we probably carried out that research, it would be, I think it's coming further down. And in terms of questioning gender, I mean, we're working with parents and children who are, you know, primary school age, and that's great, and that's where it should be at, really. Work as soon as possible, talk to people.
We are finding, I mean, there has been research that the Tavistock Centre is where young trans or young gender identity questioning people can go to.
Yeah.
What are you finding parents' reactions are like? Are they fairly positive, or are they...
The biggest thing that we see in terms of how a young person is healthy and happy in their own identity is how supportive their support networks around them, and mostly, and when I say that, I mean parents and the people, the primary carers. So you can see two young people who have very different parental support structures to another, and, I mean, the young person who can speak to their parents, whose parents are supportive and nurture them as young people to actually identify and talk about who they are, I can't tell you how different their experiences are from those young people that we work with on homelessness cases, that we're supporting through supported housing, which is not a pretty place for young, and particularly for young gay, trans, bi young people to be at. So it's parent support is absolutely key, I think, in terms of the outcomes for a young person. And we're supporting a group of parents, actually, who have just set up a Parents of Trans Young People and Gender Questioning Young People, and they're meeting monthly in Cambridge to support other parents of gender questioning young people, because, you know, there's a need for them also to find support and information and advice and to be able to talk about issues for them in a safe place.
Yeah. So looking at young people now, I mean, we've spoken to Grant from Diverse, who goes into schools, and you say you do work in schools as well. Have you had any resistance from maybe parents or teachers or anything? Or
We very occasionally do have, but the vast majority of schools that have us in are, you know, are giving a clear message to their, you know, their whole school population that actually that homophobia, transphobia, biphobia matters, and actually that they want to take a stance against that and ensure that all young people know that every time, you know, they use the word gay as a derogatory term, it can harm people, and it does harm people. Young people that we work with say every time they hear "that's so gay," "that's so," you know, "that lesson was so gay," "your hairstyle's so gay," you know, it impacts and it hurts, and they're the kind of messages that we want to enable schools to have a dialogue with young people and not let that be shut down as a, you know, we've also worked with schools to say, "I wish we could ban the word gay," and it's been like, "Whoa, no." You know, it's about, "I wish you could have an open conversation with young people about, was it intentional that the word gay means derogatory, rubbish, useless, broken?" You know, I don't think it is. I think it's been a deliberate slur for the community to put us down, and I think that's damaging. And if a young person, you know, in that window period, you know, that period of 13 to 16 when they haven't told a soul, the language they hear around them, you know, is that negativity, and we need to make our schools safer for all young people, because the statistics on self-harm, on suicidality thoughts, on substance misuse, eating disorders are, you know, sky high for young LGBT people.
And I think that raises a good point. I mean, obviously, when I went to school, and perhaps when you did as well, there was Clause 28 that said we couldn't talk about this in school at all.
Nope.
So we've, thankfully, that's been repealed. We've had, obviously, civil partnerships to equal marriage. What do we need next?
What do we need next? I think we need a concerted effort in the community to bring... I mean, our laws are in place, but it's a psychological shift for some people. I think it's about really tackling homophobic, transphobic, biphobic... I'm just going to say hate crimes. Yes, hate crimes are absolutely vital to be tackled, but also maybe hate incidents and kind of what we call microaggressions. So every time you hear, you know, when I hear young people tell me, and for young men who want to hold hands with their young male partners in towns, they're every day they will be, you know, there'll be a calling, you know, somebody will call out a slur to them in the street. And it's not once a day, it'll be several times a day. I think society is more accepting of women holding hands and showing public displays of affection, and that's kind of interesting. But what's important now is that we get a sea change of culture that actually doesn't bat an eyelid. I mean, my job, you know, as well, I think I've got the best job in the world and I love it, but the most, I mean I think it's a shame that I exist, you know. Yeah. That my job exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it hurts me when young people tell me that they get shouted at for just holding a hand in public. And you know, for me personally, you know, when I go on walking holidays with my partner and we carry everything on our backs, but we stay in B&Bs, and it's that thing of actually, do I come out to a B&B owner, knowing, you know, a couple of years ago the B&B owners, you know, rejected a gay couple, you know, why should I have to? And yet, even, you know, as a mature, you know, fairly well adjusted woman, I feel that when I'm writing the emails to book a room, you know, that I'm having to come out because after a 20-mile walk I don't want to be turned away, or I don't want that look, or a bit of a look of disdain and go, oh, we've made a mistake, we've put a double room, you know, we've booked a double room for you, is that right, whose mistake is it? And it's like, oh,
it's that awkward conversation.
It is.
You know, I've said this on the show before, my partner and I, we went to Route 66 last year for my birthday, and from about Chicago to Las Vegas we were just friends. Because it was, and you're absolutely right, it happens in the UK as well. You sort of have to, you almost have to assess it because of the heteronormative world.
Yeah,
we live in.
Yeah.
That somebody who's straight doesn't have to think about.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's those little comments that you hear at work, or that little, oh, or the ones that are too cool with it, go, oh, it's great, oh, yeah, you should invite her round. Yeah. And you're like, yeah,
like, no, this is just,
slow down.
It's just and the other thing, sorry, I just remembered. No, what I'm thinking about now is actually, we also need to work celebrating difference and diversity in a much more positive way. And whilst we're invited into many, many secondary schools, our work should, and this is my firm belief, that we should be working more and more in earlier years. So in primary schools, actually talking about celebrating difference, talking about how, you know, how families are made up. I mean, there are so many young people. We talk about homophobic bullying in terms of how it affects young lesbian, gay, bisexual young people. But what about the kids of two same-sex parents? You know, what about kids whose uncles are gay, whose aunts are trans? You know, do you mean, what, how are we supporting those young people to live a full, healthy, happy life? Because that hate incident, crime, slurs, that affects them too. So we should be, you know, we do some work in primary schools, but I'd like sexuality to be invited into many more primary schools, because 75% of primary school teachers say they hear homophobic, biphobic and transphobic slurs at primary school. And that's, you know, that's worrying, and that will be happening in Cambridgeshire's primary schools. And that's where we need to start. My, you know, children aren't born homophobic, biphobic, transphobic. They learn some of these values, and it's about if we can teach them the values of respect, celebrating difference and diversity, it would be a better world for all. That's what I'd be. Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, because primary school, I mean, I read a piece in The Guardian about somebody who was trans and kept that under wraps, because if you remember a couple of years ago, Lucy Meadows, yeah, who was a primary school teacher who was starting a transition and was hounded by a certain newspaper, I don't want to say in case we get sued, and you know, so if you can start that work early on, and so it is just so normal.
Absolutely. And you know, it's yeah, absolutely shocking, Lucy Meadows, you know, the way that she was hounded and what happened to her, you know, and it's, and we need to, you know, we need to take responsibility as a whole, well, as an LGBT community, but also as community at large, to make sure that never happens again. And yet, you know, papers are still hounding.
And on that note, how do we get in touch with you? Because you're amazing work. Keep it up, by the way.
Yeah, brilliant, thank you.
And how do we get in touch?
Well, we've got, we've just released, is that the right way? You see, I can't, technology is not my strong point. Our website has just, we've got a new website, new look on our website. So it's syacams.org. That's C-A-M-B-S, S-Y-A-C-A-M-B-S.org. Yep. So contact us there. We've got an office line, which is Cambridge 369508. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. So SYACAMBS, SYACAMS. Yeah.
Brilliant. But you're not going. Don't go yet. And we'll get you back on because you also do something else in your spare time, right?
Yeah.
You're listening to Rainbow Radio on Cambridge 105.
And we will find out what that is in a second. Go back. That's it. That's go and put a kettle on, Miriam. She's amazing, isn't she? Absolutely incredible.
Absolutely the right time. I don't know if you've read the article on the BBC website.
Tell me more.
It's about North Yorkshire. And they did a research asking 20,000 people who are in year 10. So I think that's about 14.
Fourth year. In old money.
Old money, yeah. And they asked, and they found out that of that community, they had 6% identified as LGBT. And that was about 1,600 people. And they compared the LGBT people to the people who didn't identify. And some of the remarks were quite worrying. For example, if they compared self-harm within the girls, it was 16% for people who didn't identify as LGBT and 54% for people who did identify as LGBT, which is a huge number.
It is a huge number, and I think that's what kind of Miriam was saying. There's certainly the work in Cambridgeshire that sexuality does find them online is so important, and I'm finding that. And Grant, who is waiting the wings as well, who today's not going to talk about this, but has gone into schools as well because that's where the work is starting.
Yeah.
So anyway, just to remind you, this is Community Radio in your city. It's Cambridge 105. It's really good to have you along this afternoon. It's very cold. So, not that you have to be outside to listen to a radio.
Maybe wrapping up warm with a lovely hot chocolate.
Not in this studio. We've got lots of love happening here.
No buttons to press.
So, I'm Bex.
I'm Sally.
And this is Rainbow Radio. Every month, it's LGBT, so lesbian, gay, bi and trans community.
Yes.
We'll give you a bit of news about what's going on. We'll get a few guests in. Yeah. Play a bit of LGBT music, which we're going to do in a tick. And basically celebrate diversity. Celebrate how different we all are.
Yes.
And how that's so amazing. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play Lola from the Kinks.
Ooh.
Why have you picked this one, Sal?
Well, one of the members of the Kinks, I think it is Davey, is from our community. I think he identifies as bi.
Let's see what happens here. Oh, I like this one. This is Community Radio in your city. It's Cambridge 105, Rainbow Radio.
Champagne and it tastes just like Coca-Cola, C-O-L-A, Cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said hello.
This is Community Radio in your city. It's Cambridge 105. I'm Bex.
I'm Sally.
This is Rainbow Radio, all things LGBT on your Saturday afternoon. And I love it. The Kinks, Lola, thank you for picking that song. It's amazing. I've got a bit of sad news.
We've run out of time.
We are running out of time. So Miriam might not be back today, but she's going to talk about Sister Act, which is a group for the lesbian or people who identify as lesbian or as ladies who like ladies. And so we'll get her back next. Let her go. Let her go into the cold and get some tea. And we'll bring her back next month.
Promise and biscuits, more biscuits.
Well, this is it, because we can't. This man is a legend. Amazing. Grant Chambers off of Diverse, who is a sexual health charity. You're trying to spit my mouth. Grant. Okay.
Living legend.
Absolute living legend. He's such a regular now. I think we should give him like billing.
Well, also with the HIV and AIDS Awareness Day coming up, it's the best time to do it, really.
So, without further ado, Grant, you're back.
And I'm very pleased to be back, Bex. I love coming here. So.
Oh, I know. I think, and we don't even make you a coffee. I don't understand.
It's just such a nice, friendly atmosphere, and it's just down the road from where I work, so it's absolutely ideal.
Oh, remind us again where you work, Grant. Right.
I work at Diverse, which is the local HIV and sexual health charity. So we're based at Dale's Brewery, which is on Gwydir Street, almost on the corner of Gwydir Street and Mill Road.
So why are you here today?
I'm here today to talk about two things which Diverse is doing in the very near future. Sexual health champion training for gay and bisexual men, and an event which we're having to celebrate World AIDS Day. So shall I tell you a little bit about both?
Please, yes.
Okay. First of all, I'm running two independent trainings and free trainings, and they're sexual health champion trainings for gay and bisexual men. Now, you may well wonder, what is a sexual health champion? Well, a sexual health champion is someone... Well, if you think we all, in our everyday life, or perhaps most of us, talk to our friends, talk to our family, talk to our colleagues about the things which affect us, and that often includes sex or relationships or stuff to do with our partners. And that's a really good way of getting accurate, up-to-date information across about sexual health, where you can get tests, where you can go for support. And one of the ways that we want to tap into this is by looking at communities that may find it difficult to access sexual health resources or maybe isolated in some way. And one of these communities is the community of gay and bisexual men and men who have sex with men, because often there are men who have sex with men but don't identify as being gay or bisexual. And as an outsider, or someone that's perceived as an outsider, as a sexual health worker that's coming in from the outside and giving information, that can sometimes seem a bit forbidding. It's a bit like someone wagging their finger at you and telling you, don't do this, do this. But as an insider, someone that's perceived as part of that community, as part of a peer network, just casually sort of giving information, accurate information about where to go for an HIV test or how HIV is transmitted, you can get that information across really effectively. So that's what this training is about. It's directed at men who identify as gay and bisexual, and it's giving them the skills so that they can pass on accurate information about sexual health, tell people where to go for help, where to go for support, where to go for testing.
And that's so important, isn't it? I mean, we've seen in the media, Charlie Sheen.
Exactly.
So it can happen to celebrities.
It can happen to absolutely everyone. And I think all the publicity around Charlie Sheen reveals something very important about HIV. And we're coming up to National HIV Testing Week, which is next week, and to World AIDS Day, which is December the 1st. And I think two important things to remember. First of all, that treatments have improved enormously. So if you're diagnosed with HIV today in the UK, you can expect a normal life, more or less a normal life expectancy. You can have sex, you can have children, you can work. The treatments have improved enormously. But one of the big issues still affecting people living with HIV is stigma. Mm-hmm. So when we look at, what Charlie Sheen was saying, the difficulty in coming out, being open to blackmail, you know, there's still a lot of... For many people living with HIV, it's not the virus that affects them so much as the attitude of other people, misinformation, misunderstanding and stigma.
Yeah, because he was diagnosed about 3-4 years ago, wasn't he? And it's coming out. And I think, you know, for those who don't know, he was on the Today programme this week and he said it openly live that he had a diagnosis.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right with the stigma. So you're hoping the champions will sort of try and break that down as well.
Exactly. So it's not just... Well, I think there's often a link between providing information and challenging stigma, because a lot of stigma is based on fear, and fear can be based on myths. For example, the myth that you can catch HIV from kissing or sharing mugs with someone that's got HIV. You know, don't let someone with HIV near my kids, because just playing with them might transmit HIV in some way. And of course, all these are myths, and these myths can often lie at the heart of stigma.
Of course. So if I would like... So this training is free?
The training is free, and the training is 10 till 4 at Dales Brewery, our offices, in Gwydir Street. If you would like to come along, please contact Diverse on 01223 508 805 or send me an email at grant@diverse.org.uk. You're welcome to have a look at our website. Just Google Diverse with an H and you'll find it very, very easily. Also, there's I'm definitely looking for more people to come along to the training on the 24th. So you can come along on Tuesday the 24th. That's free and we will be providing nibbles and refreshments.
And you do provide good nibbles, I can vouch for that.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Well, December the 1st, we're doing lots of national HIV testing.
Oh, tell me more, please.
So you may well see us out on the streets handing out red ribbons. If you would like red ribbons or any information about World AIDS Day, again, please contact us. We're organising an event to celebrate the lives of people living with HIV and remember those who have died during the epidemic. And that's on Sunday, December the 6th, at the Michael House Centre, which is on Trinity Street. Everyone is welcome. You're also welcome to participate if you would like to read a poem or perhaps say something about your experiences. That would be absolutely great. It's a totally informal event, and it's 2 till 4pm at the Michael House Centre.
On the 6th of December.
On the Sunday, the 6th of December. And there will be mulled wine and mince pies afterwards.
That's what I love about you, Grant. You always do bring the refreshments.
Remember the important thing, yes.
So I look forward to that. Thanks very much, Grant. Oh, you're an absolute star. Oh, isn't he?
He's fantastic. Oh, I'm looking forward to
nibbles.
Some of those nibbles.
But didn't bring any today.
Maybe next month.
Yes. Speaking of which, that's pretty much it for us here at Rainbow Radio on Cambridge 105. Our LGBT rainbow closes down for another month.
Yes, goes away and comes back on the 19th.
Of December?
Yes,
a week before Boxing Day.
Oh.
So, I'm not very Christmassy, I'm afraid. So, is that all right?
Oh, I do love Christmas, actually. I go overboard, you know.
It's a bad time.
Narnia.
It's a bad time for us in the LGBT community, which we'll talk about next month.
Yep.
Keeping yourself well with your mental health, making sure you're ready for the new year, new you.
Yeah.
Particularly as if you feel that the new year for you is when you come out, that's fine. We will definitely
help
all that.
Yep. Some of the pitfalls as well.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get Miriam back, who is a fabulous fellow, who talked about sexuality, the young person's organisation here in Cambridge. She'll be back to talk about Sister Act. Coming up tonight, we've got Jason Allen next.
Oh, good.
DJ Skunk is on with Club Global from 7. From 8 o'clock, the party zone with Matt Webb. He's back. He's got box of tunes ready to go. And as I say, we are back on the 19th.
Be brilliant.
Oh, I can't wait. And if you want to get in touch, find us online, Cambridge 105. That would be great. Oh, he's started singing already.
Oh,
it's time to go. Oh.
For another month.
Another month. See you soon. Keep it Cambridge 105.
The way that we love, like it's forever, then live the rest of our life, but not together.
up in the morning, stumble on my life. Can't get no love without sacrifice. If anything should happen, I guess I wish you well. A little bit of heaven, but a little bit of hell. This is the hardest story that I've ever told. No hope, love, or glory, happy endings gone forevermore. I feel as if I'm where you stand. And I where you stand every day. Black in the morning, something's on my mind. Can't get no rest, keep walking around. If I pretend that nothing ever went wrong, I can get to my sleep, I can think that we just carried on. This is the hardest story that I've ever told. No hope, love, or glory, happy endings gone. Little bit of love, little bit of love, little bit of love, little bit of love.